So the title of the series is Plan Your Route. Would you please say that out loud? Say, plan your route. Let's personalize it. Let's say, I got to plan my route. I got to plan my route. And the subtitle today is Some Assembly Required. Some Assembly Required. I'm going to read to you Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And I've chosen this out of the New Living Translation. It says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. This is a really powerful verse that we shouldn't neglect coming together, meeting together. Notice what he says, that many people have done that, but all the more as we're seeing the return of Christ, as we're praying, as we're seeing all the signs that Christ is coming back. So it says here in the NLT, not to neglect our meeting together. The NASB, and actually the New King James Version as well, says it this way, not forsaking, that we shouldn't forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of some. So there's some assembly required. Now, for many years, I described myself as being mechanically challenged. I didn't grow up working with my hands, and so I would always say, I'm mechanically challenged. I've learned to shift that a little bit. I no longer say that because I've realized I can learn, and I'm learning. And some of you guys have been teaching me things, how to work with my hands and build. Some of you guys are very, very gifted at that. Some of you do that for a living. But in the past, when I would see a toy that maybe we gave for Christmas, and it said, some assembly required, my heart would sink. And I would think to myself, that is a euphemism. There is no way it's just some assembly. There's going to be a lot of assembly. It gets worse. There's this store called IKEA. And it's not some assembly. It's a lot of assembly. And my heart would sink if Sarah wanted to go to IKEA because I just knew that I'd be spending hours putting something together. And I'm thinking it's not that good of a discount that I'm doing all their work. And I thought it was just me because I thought I'm mechanically challenged. And then I started talking to some of you, and some of you that are really gifted at building things, you also, that's not your favorite place to go to. So some assembly required. Would you please say that out loud? Say some assembly required. Well, if you're going to grow in the Lord, if we're going to grow in Christ, if we're going to accomplish great things for the Lord, there's some assembly that's required. There's some building that's required. And there's some gathering together. Gathering together is really important. And so many people forget this. And so if we're going to grow, there's some assembly that's required. There's some getting together that's required. You can grow on your own. All of us need to grow individually. We're pressing into prayer. We're studying the Word. But you will only grow at a minimal rate if you're not plugged in to a church family, if you're not around other people. It's going to be harder for you to grow. You can grow, but you really grow when you're around people. You need encouragement. You need motivation. You actually need some accountability in your life. You need people to prod you on, to encourage you in the growing process. And so we desperately need each other if we're going to grow. So would you please say it again? Say, some assembly required. Now I'm going to ask you to just pinch your neighbor and say, hey, some assembly required. Say that. Some assembly required. Now, I want to read this to you in the Living Bible because we get a little more insight. It says, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do. Don't neglect church meetings. Don't neglect coming to church. The New Life Version says it this way. Let us not stay away from church meetings. Some people are doing this all the time. It's really hard to grow. You're going to be missing out on something if you don't realize that some assembly is required. So I want to talk to us about this today a little bit. I want to talk to us about the power of coming together, the power of us working together, the power of having a local church family. So the first point is this, is we do realize that we're all called to the Lord. We're all called to the Lord. That is the most important thing. God has called you to himself. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. So God calls us to eternal life. I want you to know this today. God has put out an invitation to everyone. It's an invitation of salvation. And the Bible says that he would have none to perish, not even one. He has proven that by sending his son Jesus to die for every single one of us. And the Bible even says that knowing God is eternal life. And so there's a salvation call. There's an invitation that every one of us would receive Christ as our personal Savior. You might be here today and you've heard that Jesus is the Savior of the world. You might have heard a little bit about him, but you need to ask him to be your Savior. That's the call to salvation. So he calls every one of us to eternal life. He calls every one of us to salvation. And he calls us to relationship. That's really important. You know, Christianity is not a religion of just do's and don'ts. It's a relationship. We can know God. And so the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God, who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And so the Lord calls us to himself. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to relationship. He calls us to fellowship. So that is the most important thing, is that we're all called to know the Lord. We're called to know him. But we're also called to a family. We're called to the church. We're called to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And so when you gave your life to Christ, when I received the Lord as my Savior, when you received the Lord as your Savior, you get to be part of the family of God. You get to be part of God's family. And so you're called to the Lord, but you're also called to a local church. You're called to a family. And the first part of that to understand is that God called you out of darkness. The Bible says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Aren't you glad that you're not living in darkness today? Aren't you glad that Jesus has revealed his light to you? He has called us out of darkness and into a wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The idea here is that we were all living in darkness. We were all stumbling. We all didn't know what we were doing. We were in darkness, but God calls us into his light. The light of God shone in our hearts, and he gave us a revelation that Jesus is our Savior, and we entered into relationship with him. He took us out of darkness and placed us into light. That is so wonderful. That is so powerful. So we are called out of darkness as individuals, but notice this, when he calls you out, he calls you into something. He calls you into a family. He calls you into fellowship with one another. I'm so thankful today that I don't have to live life all alone. I know some of you might be more introverts and you might get filled up. We only need our time alone, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that we need a family. You know, God designed families. God's the one who came up with the idea of family. God is the idea who came up with the idea of relationship. And so he calls us into relationship. He calls us to be a part of a family, to be part of something. So he calls us out of darkness. Now this may surprise some of you, but the Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. And ekklesia means called out. Very interesting. So the word church, which was a Greek word, and now in English we say church, the word for church in the Greek is actually ekklesia, and it means to call out. So he's called you out of darkness. He's called you out of a sinful lifestyle. He's called you out of a certain way, a pattern of living, called you into the kingdom of light, and he's called you to be part of a people. You're part of a family. You're part of something bigger than yourself. Now, the word ekklesia is really a compound word. The first part of the word is ek, which means out, and lesia comes from kaleo. So it means out, and kaleo means to call. So God has been calling every one of us. Some of you He was calling for a long time, and then you finally responded to salvation. And now that you love the Lord, you want to raise your family so that when your kids are little, as soon as they understand, they will respond to the call of salvation. They'll have a personal relationship with Christ. And so God has called us individually, but he brings us into a family. And this is the idea of being called out. So God has called us out of the world and into himself, called out of the world and to himself, out of darkness and to light. Now, I'm going to share something about ecclesia, because that's the church. It's being called out. But in the first century, in the Greek and in the Greco-Roman world, ecclesia was actually a town hall. When they would refer to the ecclesia, they would say, let's go to the town hall. Let's go to the building where everybody gathers together. And so it was a town hall where citizens gathered together to hear announcements. And there was actually proclamations that were made by a preacher. He or she was called the kerus, and that's preaching in the Greek. And so it was almost like a town crier, a town proclaimer. And so the citizens would come together in the town hall, listen to the kerus, listen to the preacher, make announcements about the community, or if the empire had an announcement that they wanted to make. And then they would gather together for fellowship, and they would gather together to discuss things. And so all of that was the ecclesia. So when the Holy Spirit chose to use the word church, chose to use the word ecclesia for the church, he was describing this event where we all come together, where there are some announcements that are made, where there are some discussions that take place, where there's probably some community involvement, all at the town hall. That's the word the Lord chose for church, for ecclesia, for the community. And so when we come together for various purposes that we'll talk about in a moment, but it comes from this idea of the ecclesia. And so then when we look at the church, the first thing the church did is that they met in the temple courts and they met in churches. Listen to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So they met together where? In the temple courts, in Solomon's colonnade, in the temple courts, and then they met in different homes. And so there were two places. There were public gatherings, but then they were also meeting in their home. This was the church. The church is all about people. The church is all about relationships. As we said before, the church is not a building. The church is us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the church is us. But it sure is nice to have a facility to meet in. It sure is nice to have a place to gather. And so they were doing two things. They were meeting publicly, but also in homes. You know, when the church is being persecuted and has to go underground, and by the way, I'll say this as a footnote, the enemy will never shut down the church. The church will always exist until Christ comes back. And so even if there isn't a public display of the church going underground, they're going to be able to meet. And so God knew this because they were being persecuted in the first century. But then they also had public gatherings where they came together. They were the called out ones that gathered together. Both are important, that we can fellowship with one another, but that we also have a public gathering. And so there's some people that say, oh, well, we should just meet in church. We should just meet in homes. That's what the first century did. Well, they were being persecuted, but if they could, they were meeting in public places. There's a lot of great things that happen in a home. You can have a meal together, but having children's ministry is challenging. If you have a lot of people, you may not want to be the host. You may not even have parking. You may not even know where to put everyone. So it's nicer to have a little bigger of a spot so that you can do all these different kinds of ministry. But the point is this, is that there was relationship happening. There was a gathering coming together so that there would be an expression of God's people. And so we're called. We're called out of darkness and into light. We're called as a group of people. And so basically we're called to the church. We are called to the church. Now, there's two aspects of the church as a whole. In other words, a church of Jesus Christ. I like to say it this way, that all the other churches here would be our extended family, but this is our immediate family. And so that the church of Jesus Christ as a whole. So a couple of examples would be in 1 Corinthians 1:2, when Paul's writing his letter to Corinth, he says this, to the church of God in Corinth. So if you're a Christian today, if you've received the Lord as your personal Savior, you're part of the church of God, not just in Wesley Chapel, not just in Florida, not just in the States, but you're part of the church around the world, the global church of God. You're part of God's church. So he's addressing the church of God in Corinth to those who sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and all ours. This is so wonderful that you're part of a global family. You're part of the family of God. One thing I love about traveling, and one thing I love about ministering, I can go to a nation where I don't know anybody. But when I meet another Christian, there's the commonality of Christ. You suddenly feel connected. I've been to nations for the very first time, and I might meet believers there, and I might minister and preach there, but you feel like you've known them your whole life. And even if you're preaching a message, they resonate with it because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Or I might read a scripture, and as I read the scripture, the life and the light of the Lord is released in the place because they have an encounter and a journey with that very scripture because we share the commonality of Christ. This is wonderful. You're part of the family of God. Let's say that out loud. Say, I'm part of God's family. I'm sorry. You're part of God's family. This is just so wonderful. Another example would be in Galatians 1, verse 2. Paul says, to the churches in Galatia. So it's this idea that we're part of the church as a whole, that he addresses the church of Jesus Christ, his family, the global family. But then we need to realize that God calls you to a specific church location. So all of us are called to the body of Christ. We're called to the church as a whole. But then God puts out a call to a specific location. So there were churches in Galatia, but then there were certain churches within all of the churches. There were specific churches. So let me give you some examples of this. In Romans 16, verse 5, Paul says this, greet also the church that meets at their house. So there's the global church, but there are specific churches. In this case, they were meeting in a house because they were being persecuted. Philemon 1, verses 1 and 2. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. So all of us are part of God's family at a macro level, but then he calls us to a specific church family. And that is wonderful because that's where relationships are built. That's where you start going through valleys together. That's where you start climbing mountains together. You start building relationships. And it's important to know where you're called. God calls you to a fellowship. He calls you to a church. You start attending for a while and you start building the relationship and you start loving the worship. You start loving the word. You start loving the fellowship and the ministry. And God starts putting that in your heart and you say, wow, I feel called to this local fellowship. I feel called to this local church. And so it's important to realize that. And I want to put out an invitation to be part of this church family, to be committed in this regard. So one, we're called to the Lord. Secondly, we're called to a local church. And the third thing is we're called to a vision. When you're called to a local church, then you begin to be connected for a common cause. One of the things I love about coming together as a church family is that we're part of something bigger than ourselves, but we have a vision. And when you believe in that vision, you work toward that vision together. And it's exciting. It's fun to do it together. And you can accomplish so much more together. I know you have some dreams in your heart. I've got some dreams in my heart. I can't do them on my own. And you can't fulfill your dreams on your own. But working together, praying together, motivating each other, contributing together, we're going to accomplish so much more as a group than we ever could as individuals. This is so powerful. And so we're connected for a common cause. And so God gives this picture of the ecclesia, of the gathering. But throughout the scriptures, and we don't have time to develop it, but he refers to the family of God as being like the body of Christ, that we all need each other. We have fingers and we have toes and we have arms and legs, and you might be a finger and I might be a toe, and you might be an ear and somebody else might be a nose. It's this analogy of the body of Christ, but we all fit together and we all need each other. And so the Bible says this in Ephesians 4 and verse 16. He's talking about Jesus here, but he says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so when we're part of a family, we're going to grow, we're going to be built up in love, but then every one of us play our part. We all have different parts to play as we work together in the family of God. And so we're connected for a common cause. And then we're committed to work together. When we're part of a church family, we're connected for a common cause, but then we're committed to work together as well. Here's another verse, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I love this verse. He gives the agrarian example here, that somebody plants seed, another person comes and waters it, another person might come and weed. We're all working together. And so when you're, for example, you're sharing your faith with somebody, sometimes you might just be planting a seed in someone's heart. Sometimes you might just be praying with them. But another time, you might get to be the one to pray with that person to receive Christ and to see them get plugged into a church family. That's just wonderful. It just shows that we're all playing our part. When we come together on a church service, some of us have the gift to lead worship and we sing along, and other people serve by ushering and greeting people, and others serve in our children's ministry. But we're all working together so that people can be built up. Say amen to that. And so it's such a wonderful thing. And then we commit to working together. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and this is out of the New Living Translation. We will not boast about things done outside of our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. Now, there's a lot that he's talking about here. But this idea of our realm of authority, or our area of authority, another word would be our sphere of influence, the boundaries of a local church, he had poured his heart into the Corinthians, and they were working together. And so there are certain things that we do as we work together, and as we're committed to one another, that's part of this fellowship. So I'll give you an example. I have this incredible privilege of pastoring this church. What a privilege for me that I would get to share God's word, that you might listen and feel what I'm saying is valuable. That's an enormous privilege. And I might do some counseling, and I might do some discipleship, and I might do some teaching and coaching and working with people. What an incredible privilege. But that's within this field, and that's within this environment. I'm not going to go into the church down the street and assume that I'll do the same thing there that I'm doing here. Does that make sense? It's within this field. But in this field, we're all working together. There's relationship that is built. And then sometimes God calls me to go to Asia, to Africa, and I get to do some of those things as well. But he's talking about the area here of influence. But notice what he said there. He says that they're working together. We're working with you. So you're connected for a common cause, but then you work together. In other words, you believe in the vision that God has given, and you work toward that. So honestly, this isn't my vision. We kind of say it that way. Oh, yeah, it's the vision that God gave. just because he uses people and leaders. But really, this is God's vision. And I'm deeply humbled that some of you believe in that vision that he happened to have communicated through me and my wife. But it's really all of us together. It's God's vision. But when you believe in his vision, you're connected for a common cause. And then you're committed to work for the vision. But it's God's vision. It's what God is saying to do right here in Wesley Chapel, right here in our area. And so it's this idea of vision. So when we talk about the local church, there's really four simple things that we do when we come together as a church. The first one is we come together to worship the Lord. When we come together to just worship him. And there's something about some assembly required. Yes, you could worship on your own, but God says, come together and worship as a people. And there's something about, for lack of a better word, I'll say it this way, the corporate anointing. God, us coming together and sensing and feeling his manifest presence, and we worship together. God's the one who designed that. And so we come together to worship. There's something powerful about that. And then we come together to hear and to study God's word. That's a powerful thing. We come together, we're listening to God's word, we're studying God's word together, and then we come together for discipleship, for relationship, to connect with one another, to encourage each other, to motivate one another. That scripture in Hebrews 10, and if you read the verse above, God's called us together to encourage, to motivate one another. That's discipleship and relationship. And the fourth aspect is just serving. Serving the Lord together and ministering. Those are really the four anchors of a local church, that God calls us to come together to worship, to hear his word, to study his word, to be involved in relationship with each other, and then serving the Lord together. Those are the four basic things of a local church. And so God has called us to the local church. Now, in our expression, what does that mean if we break it down? Well, when we come together and worship the Lord here at Freedom, probably the two main times are Sunday morning and Wednesday night, that we just come together and we worship the Lord. We follow God's admonition. We follow God's instructions to come together and to worship the Lord. That happens on a Sunday. That happens primarily on a Sunday and during our Wednesday family night. But then we come and we study God's word together. So that happens on a Sunday. That happens on a Wednesday night. And then it might be, say, we're reading the New Testament together. I've really enjoyed that this year, knowing that as I'm reading and doing my devotions, that others in the family of God are reading the exact same chapter. I mean, that's encouraging. And so we study that together. You know, we have Freedom Bible College. So those that want to go a little bit deeper than a Sunday or a Wednesday, on a Tuesday night for 2 hours of teaching, and some do it to just come and receive God's word. Others are working toward their associates in theology, but they are plummeting the depths of God's word. They're studying so much more than just a Sunday sermon. We have that opportunity. Our ACTS seminars that we provide, where on a Saturday sometimes we might have a guest speaker or I might carry that, and we study God's word at a deeper level on a particular subject. These are just examples. So we study God's word. Our bookstore, it's actually probably one of the best in the area. I mean, a lot of bookstores have shut down. But I've read pretty much, there's maybe a couple books I haven't read in there. But if you want to learn more about a certain subject, not only will I share with you, but you can plummet the depths. We have resources to study God's word. So we come together to worship. We come together to study the word. And then there's discipleship and relationship. How does that happen? Well, it really happens through consistent attendance. Don't miss the phrase in that verse where he said some have given that up. Some aren't there. But you know, if you consistently attend and consistently are part of something, you're going to build relationship. You know, my son is going to a very large Christian university right now, 15,000 people on campus. It's a big school. And we like the school. We're grateful for the school. But it's actually hard to build relationship in a big venue like that. Because you can go to their chapel, you can go to a service, and you might meet somebody, and you have to be very intentional. Yes, you can connect outside, but you could go to that same chapel service, you can go to that same venue every single week and see a different person. It's actually quite difficult to build relationships in a big setting. I actually went to a smaller school, and so we knew we were going to see the same people in the cafeteria every day. When you come to a church fellowship like this, you're going to see the same people on a Sunday. You're going to see the same people on a Wednesday. You're going to build relationship just because you're being consistent. And over time, you're going to connect. And so I'm going to say something, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I hope you'll hear my heart in this, okay? But oftentimes people will say to us, well, I don't really feel connected at the church. I don't feel like I really have any friends at the church, but we hardly see them. I don't mean to be unkind, but it's hard to build a relationship if you're not around. But if you'll just come around consistently on a Sunday and a Wednesday, I promise you, within a year, you'll have connected with people. You'll have had relationship with people. And yes, you can connect outside and for a lunch or in somebody's home and do other things. We bless that. We want that to happen. But it really begins just being consistent. And over time, because you see the same people you're worshiping with, you say hi, and then it goes a little bit deeper, you start having the relationship. Now, I want you all to look me in the eye and say, Pastor, I love you. Okay? I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm trying to tell you how this works, right? Just get plugged in. You'll build the relationship. And so consistent attendance. Our family night, God dropped that into our heart a couple of years ago that we really need to start family night. I love family night because we come together, we worship together. But if we have a few minutes here on Sunday, we have a whole lot more on a Wednesday to connect, to see how we're doing, to pray with each other, to talk to each other. And then we break out into our age-specific ministry. So we have children's ministry, we have Firehouse for the youth, we have Powerhouse for the young adults. And so what's happening? Relationship is happening, smaller groups are happening, connection points are happening, but then there's the discipleship process. So through hearing the word, and then through the mentoring of big brothers and big sisters and fathers and mothers in the Lord and iron sharpening iron, you're building relationship with each other and you're growing in the Lord. I love our family nights and I love seeing our young people begin to worship the Lord and be on the worship team and begin to develop those gifts. That just makes me so happy. I can't even tell you how that warms my heart. And so that's how you really build those relationships is through our family night. What about we have so many different opportunities. Our men's meetings, our periodic get-togethers, when we get together and just pray together or serve and do something. And our women, when they get together and they serve. And so you may not connect with every single thing, but you have opportunities. And through that consistent just being around, you're going to build relationship. Say amen to that. And so it's worshiping the Lord together. It's hearing and studying God's word together. It's discipleship and relationship. And the fourth aspect, the serving and ministry. This is wonderful where you get to minister the Lord. So it might be here on a Sunday. It might be serving in a different capacity. It might be one of our outreaches. It might be on our mission trip. You know, when you start serving the Lord together, not only is it fun, but you get to know each other a whole lot more. It might be at our freedom run, when we do our annual freedom run, where we're serving to make it happen, but then we're ministering to people in the community, businesses that we wouldn't normally be able to connect with, but we're doing all of that. We're serving the Lord together. We're ministering. Or what about our men's? We just did a men's project where there was someone in our church that really needed a deck built outside of their door and a handicap ramp. And those of us that were able to make it that day, we just came together and laughed and served and worked. And those of you that came with me, we got to know each other a little more, didn't we? And we got to laugh together and we got to serve. There's something about working together. What about those that have been on a mission trip, whether it was to build a house or whether it was to go do evangelism? I mean, you're living the kingdom 24/7. You're eating together. You're talking together. In fact, you're around each other so much, some of you might want to break from one another. But you're doing it together. You're building relationship. That memory is incredible, serving the Lord together, doing something that's bigger than yourself, doing something that you get to serve the Lord in with each other. All of those components, my brother and sister, when you wrap those things together, you walk away and you say, wow, I've got friendships. I've got relationships. And I've got something that's very, very meaningful, where I am walking with somebody in the kingdom of God. And then because you know each other, if you go through a hard time, we cry together. We pray together. We fast and pray for certain things. And when you get a blessing, we all rejoice. We shout, man, that's wonderful. We prayed and you got the answer and now we're celebrating. This is extraordinary. This is wonderful. And so when the Bible talks about the body of Christ, it's all of us serving a part. And I want you to know there's room for everyone. Say amen to that. There's plenty of opportunity. Say amen to that. And so this is the beauty of a local church. It's the beauty of it. You know, Paul says this in Acts chapter 26 and verse 19. He's giving his testimony. He's defending his faith. And he says this, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. So God's given a vision. And I don't want to be disobedient to the vision. I want to be obedient. God's given a vision. And that vision just keeps growing in me. That vision just explodes. And Sarah and I, you know, we're on year number 20, but it feels like we're just getting started. The fire hasn't burnt out. In fact, the fire has intensified. And I would say this, every church goes through ups and downs and difficult things. I would say this, that through the valleys and the difficult times, the fire is burning even more. In fact, I would say the difficult times have crystallized the vision. The difficult times have made it burn stronger. There's more clarity. There's more focus. And so it's exploding on the inside of me. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of what we're going to do together and where we're going to go. And I hope you'll come along for the ride. I hope you'll go on the adventure with me because I'm really excited about what God is doing. Say amen to that. And some of you have embraced the vision. It's not me. It's God. God gave the vision, but he just kind of communicated it through someone. And he uses all of us to crystallize and to stir that vision. But in working together, we're going to make an impact in this community, in the Tampa Bay area, but also in the nations. Amen? And we already have in many, many ways, but there is a whole lot more to do. And so God calls. God hasn't called me to another church. He's called me to this church. You do have to know where God has called you. And we bless people. We bless our extended family. But when you're called to this church family, oh, then we can really begin to work together as the scripture says. Amen? And so I just want to conclude by simply saying this. This is really an invitation today. It's an invitation to either crystallize, to reaffirm this vision that is stirring and being part of a local assembly. But it's also an invitation for you to commit to this assembly, some assembly required. A whole lot assembly required. Some assembly required. But it's your invitation to be part of this local assembly, Freedom Church. And it's an invitation. And I say it would be an honor. Some of you I've walked with for a long time, since the very beginning. Some of you, it's maybe we're just getting to know each other, but it's a wonderful adventure. Let's go on this together. But some assembly required. And we'll build something great for the Lord. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet.